Hey, welcome. You feeling stuck? A little bit trapped? I know how that feels. Same old grind. It's a bore. You don't want to go no more. I want to do something new. I know you want to get out too. Well, here we go. Come along with me. When you start out, it sure ain't easy. But if you got a dream that you want to see, you got to find a way to finally feel free. I'm not the type to give up. I won't ever be the last. I'm gonna start from scratch. Starting from scratch. So I want to send a big thanks to my man Dan Pacheco, who created the musical introduction bumper music there. I've been encouraging Dan. I want to call him Dan the Music Man, because he's got a full-on studio and he's been working on his art for ever since he was a young kid. So if you need some music made custom for something you want to do, like a podcast or a show, let me know and I'll get you in touch with Dan the Music Man, because he made that for me basically just for free. And I promised him what I could do is just advertise it to others. So welcome. Welcome to I'm Starting From Scratch. This is a podcast dedicated to providing encouragement, motivation, and forming community around the idea of forming your own venture, whether it's a business or a side hustle or you want to start being a freelancer. I want to help people get out of the trap of getting stuck in a 9-to-5 job or doing something they don't like with the majority of their time and find a way to feel free and happy and to find meaning in your life. So this is the project I've been working on for the past couple years, figuring out a way to escape the rat race. I was feeling really stuck in my job. I was frustrated with where I was at. I was frustrated with a lot of problems in the world. And for a while, I went around complaining about things. And then I decided that, you know, no one wants to hear anybody complain about problems. I need to figure out what I can do. Take action. So that's what I've been doing. I've been taking a lot of actions. And I'm here to share with you my adventure. I'm not trying to tell you I know how to become rich, because I haven't become rich in terms of money, unless you were to compare me to people all over the world. I'm probably in the top percentage. I live a pretty nice lifestyle, but I'm not going to say rich. I'm going to say I'm not where I'm at financially. I'm not where I want to be. And on that note, I'm going to share with you a little quote from a book I've been listening to called Total Money Makeover by David Ramsey. He said something really cool. I was just listening to this tonight while I was, I listen to my audiobooks a lot of times when I'm cleaning. So I was cleaning the bathroom and he said this. He said, "It is your spiritual duty to possess riches for the good of mankind." And he explained that a bit, but basically the point was, it's actually my responsibility to gather wealth so that I can be sure that that wealth is used for positive purposes, for generous purposes. This was important to bring up in the beginning of the show because, you know, it seems like a total 180 for me in a lot of ways to be now making a whole show and making my whole focus about making money and getting rich, you know. And I don't even like that term, getting rich. Most of my life I've thought of that as something negative. You know, you should never try to be rich. Like I've equated that with materialism and kind of going down the wrong path, and it leads to corruption or some selfish desires. And I think that's held me back all these years and kind of kept me satisfied with just barely making it. It doesn't help to tell people about problems. If you want to fix something, you need to start doing it yourself. And the best way I could serve as being a good example. And if other people notice what I'm doing and decide to come along and appreciate the fruition of the actions I've been taking, then that will be speak louder than any words. So I guess what I'm trying to do right here in this short little piece here is just justify to myself and to you a good reason why it makes sense to focus so much on making money. Because if your purpose is just to make money and you see that as success, this isn't the right show for you. You know, get out of here. You know, this is about people that want to have meaning in their life, that want to do something that matters, that want to help people. Like I said before, what I've realized about myself is my primary, from doing a lot of being self-conscious and thinking about my purpose and goal in life, what I'm good at, what I'm here for, I believe, what is to help people. And so if I'm going to go about trying to figure out how to make a bunch of money right now, it's for that purpose and none other. So, and I feel like I can be a lot more effective if I can come up with a bunch more money. So that's why I'm putting all my energy and focus into this. And that's why I think you should too, because in this world, time and money are the same thing. If you can come up with enough money, then you can pay people to do the things that are eating up all your time. And then you can spend your time doing things to help other people or spend time with your family and quality time. So I have a lot of goals I want to reach in my life, and I plan on getting a lot closer to them in the next couple years here, and that's going to require a bunch of money so I can free up my time so I can do the things I want to do with that time. So if you're feeling a little bit trapped in your job or your life situation, and you're looking for a way to start chipping a hole, like I talked about in the last episode, you're trying to chip a hole in this big brick wall, the first important thing you're going to realize is that a lot of it has to do with a lot of what that brick wall is your own personal mindset. And a lot of obstacles I've realized in my way, like I described with the money thing, are bricks that I've put in front of myself. And so I've been working through the slow process of deconstructing these bricks and saying, does this really need to be here? You know, is this holding me back? And that was one of the things that held me back, was the way I looked at money. And so I'm looking at money in a whole different way. I don't believe that our system of money, you know, regulated by the federal government and the Federal Reserve, this whole tricky thing, is a good system. I think it's pretty corrupted and it's built to fail in a lot of ways. It's, you know, based on debt. So there are some really terrible things, in my opinion, about the way our money system is set up, but it's what we got, and it's the measure of value in our society. So I'm going to move on to something I'm going to call core concepts. I've been sort of meditating on how I want to make this podcast and what I want it to be about over the past month. I had talked about in the first episode, I used to do another podcast. It was called The Scritch Show. And it was a lot of fun to create. And I learned a lot from doing it, but I was sort of a little disappointed in some ways about it too. And that was why I decided to stop and change up and do something new. And so I'm starting this one out with trying to start it out with a little more of a well thought out plan, and doing a little more research and making sure I do things in a way that it will hit a little more, maybe reach more ears. So one thing that was really interesting is, as I was going through this thinking process and deciding, how am I going to make this new podcast? Who am I trying to reach? And what do I want to say to them? How can I help these people? You know, I was reading this, listening to this book. And I think this is going to be one thing I can share with you in the future on this podcast, is I'm always listening to books. I love audiobooks. And so every month I'm going to have at least one or two books I'm going to be able to share with you some knowledge from. So it's not just me speaking out of just my silly brain. I can share with you the experience and expertise of authors and people in the field that know what they're talking about. So I read this book that was called Made to Stick, Why Some Ideas Survive and Others Die. And this is by Chip and Dan Heath. And I really enjoyed this book. I'll probably listen to it again. But I'm going to talk about two little examples they give in this book. The book's just all about why some ideas work and really stick in your head and why others just don't, you know? And what are the key parts of something that really works, that really... It's for people that are learning... like I've been studying copywriting and advertising, content marketing, and that's why I chose this book, because I thought it would be good to help me get a little more prepared for doing these type of work. And so there's two little things they talk about, and I guess the way I'm going to describe it is use the term core concepts. And they talk about the importance of having, in whatever you're doing, if you're trying to get an idea to stick, you want to really have a good understanding of what the core concept of it is that you're trying to relay to your audience. So they give a couple examples of this. And the first one is Southwest Airlines. Southwest Airlines, let's just call the CEO, I don't remember the very specifics, the CEO came up with this phrase, and it was called the low-price airline. And using this core concept of the low-price airline, this is like the guiding slogan for everything they do. And for instance, one time at a board meeting, someone pops up and says, hey, these other airlines are offering like really good food to their customers on the plane. And we get complaints that our food isn't that good. And the CEO turns and says, well, would getting better food be in line with the lowest price airline? And the answer is a quick no. That's not what we're going to do. So it's easy for them to make this business decision. No, we're not going to buy expensive food for the customers. We're the low price airline. That's not what we are. And using that core concept, it has allowed that company to do really well and actually achieve that goal by being able to focus on it. And by having a short phrase like that, the low price airline, it conveys easy decision making phrase. And they kind of talk about having a proverb or something like that. And then the other thing I was going to bring up that they talk about, which really stuck in my head, is what they call high concept. And I guess this is kind of from the movie makers term that producers, movie writers use. And what a high concept is, I'll just give you the example they give in the book, is they're talking about the movie Alien. And when you want to get a screenplay, apparently when you want to get a screenplay developed into being made into a full big old blockbuster movie, you have to sell it to a production company. And what they want to hear is just a short phrase like the core concept, and they call it the high concept. And so what they use to pitch for the movie Alien was, it's Jaws on a spaceship. And the reason that's such a good little phrase is because it's Jaws on a spaceship, only what a few words, and it gets right to the point and it conveys a lot of information. It tells you not just the type of movie is it, like Jaws, you know, is like a thriller where, you know, this monster's kind of killing everybody one by one, got you on the edge of the seat type of movie. But it also tells you, you know, like, for instance, the spaceship. What kind of spaceship is it going to be? Is it going to be like a Star Trek The Next Generation spaceship where it's all shiny and silver and people are walking around in clean uniforms? No, because that wouldn't be like Jaws. Jaws was like dirty, and this boat that was smoke coming out of it, and they were like sweaty and spitting and stuff, you know? So Jaws on a spaceship, you're going to imagine a spaceship that's all dark and grungy and stuff. So those two phrases are, those two examples are things I was really like thinking on heavy when I was thinking about making this podcast. And I was thinking to myself, the problem I tend to have when I get going on something is I'm easily distracted. I get on tangents and I wander off, and I really want to make sure that I stay focused on this podcast so I really provide the value to the people that I'm trying to speak to. And hopefully you're somebody who, like me, who's trying to start out some kind of business or trying to start some venture or side business to free up your time, to make money, you know, to learn how to do something online. And so what I got to thinking about, what would my core concept be? You know, like, what is the defining aspect? What differentiates what I'm trying to do from others? And I still am struggling a little bit with just getting it down to a 3 or 4 word phrase. At first I was thinking like kind of like get rich quick on training wheels, but it's not really a get rich quick what I'm trying to do here at all. Because what I finally decided is these three words: motivation, encouragement, and community. Those are what I want to provide for you, the value that I think this show can provide. I'm going to start I did already start the Facebook group, which is I'm Starting From Scratch. So I highly recommend for you to go check out that. Get on Facebook, check out I'm Starting From Scratch. I'll have a link in the show notes on imstartingfromscratch.com. So you can meet other like-minded individuals. Networking can be a very powerful tool, and that's something I'm going to bring up in future episodes. But back to the core concept. See how I start getting off? I start wandering off and pulling myself back in. So I think the other part of my core concept is that I'm not cursed yet. There's something called the curse of knowledge, and that's where someone who has been through experience in a particular business or subject, they've gotten really good at it and they've done it for so long that it's really hard for them to speak to someone who's a beginner, you know, a English professor trying to speak to someone who's just learning the first few words of the English language. You know, it's going to be really hard for them to understand where that person's coming from. And I think that's the trouble we run into with when I listen to, for instance, these gurus, you know, that there's a lot of them out there that will, you'll get, if you start looking up information on Facebook, for instance, of entrepreneurs, you start getting all these advertisements and you click on there and they're telling you, oh, I'm going to show you how to make $1 million in a year, or I'm going to show you how to do affiliate marketing, or I'm going to show you how to make money on Amazon. You can make hundreds of thousands of dollars, but you get going and listening to one of these things and it's like, you're like, man, these guys have been doing this for a long time and they're using all these words and terminology that you don't have, and it's like, it's too much to take on. It's overwhelming. And a lot of times that scares people off right in the beginning. I mean, I felt that way with a lot of the things I'm taking on. I didn't know anything about a website. You know, I didn't know the first thing. So that puts me in a really unique position of being able to relate to other people who are just starting out from the beginning. And that's the hardest part, because that brick wall seems really thick and scary when you're first starting out, because there's just so much unknown. There's so much you don't know. You know, like if you're doing one type of career, like for instance, my story was I was doing carpentry work, maintenance work for my whole life since I was 18, 19 years old to now I'm 40 years old, and I've been doing that kind of work my whole life. And so now all of a sudden I'm just doing a U-turn and just being like, nope, I'm going to start a completely new career. I'm going to sell stuff online, you know? And so it's like starting over, and that scares the crap out of me. It scares the crap out of other people too, and it keeps them from being able to make the moves they need to make to move forward. So that's an awful long explanation for I'm not cursed yet. But that's the second part of that I've got written down for my core concept. I think as I move forward in this podcast, I'll be able to define it even better. But really, it's just no more feeling trapped, no more feeling stuck. So this is I think a solopreneur is a term that's kind of tossed around for people like myself that are trying to start all on their own. And I've heard some advice that it's really good to have a partner or a team, you know, if you're starting a business. But in the early stages where we're at, you kind of have to start by yourself for the most part, unless you got one other person who's just as motivated as you are to achieve. And I think that could be pretty powerful. But that's enough for this section. I'm going to move on. I'm going to throw in one more quote here, because since I started this episode off of talking about, you know, my justification for wanting to focus on making money, the reason why I think it's so important for me to do something of purpose is one of my biggest influences is a man named Viktor Frankl. And I can't stop talking about this guy. His book is Man's Search for Meaning. And I want to read you a quote, and it says, "Ultimately, man should not ask what the meaning of his life is, but rather must recognize that it is he who is asked. In a word, each man is questioned by life, and he can only answer life by answering for his own life. To life, he can only respond by being responsible." So I think the responsibility is something I'm really working on. And instead of relying on someone else to provide work for me, say, here's what you should do, and we'll give you this amount of money, it's going to be up to me to decide, no, here's what I want to do, and that's how I'm going to make money. And so that's a big shift, you know, and it's a mind shift, and it's not easy. It's not easy at all. I've gone through a lot of stress and anxiety. I already have kids and a wife, and so there's a lot of expectation to get a job, you know. And my wife has been pushing in the last month, understandably so, because her job is super difficult. She works long night shifts, 12 hours, and she made a job change not too long ago, and it hasn't worked out real well. It's been tough on her. She doesn't have a life anymore. She just sleeps during the day, and when she's awake, you know, it's tough. So she's been kind of like, you know, babe, maybe it's about time, you know, get a job, because I need some consistency. I need to know what you're going to do. Because for the last six, eight months, I've been, you know, doing this and that. I did some handyman work for a while. I kind of got on this little construction project for a couple months. You know, every day's been different. I'm hammering away at this Amazon business I started. And, then just recently I got into this copywriting thing and started figuring out how to be a freelancer. And from her perspective, it's all scattered and crazy, and I don't know what I'm doing. But from my perspective, I'm on this journey where I'm taking steps each day to get closer to my goal and setting new goals. But I can see where it comes across as really scattered. And that's because I'm having to work from a sort of survival point of view, where I'm trying to figure out how to make money in the meantime so that I can spend more time in the future working on the business. And I'm going to tell you a little story about my Amazon business. I just wrote a little article about this, and I've been thinking a lot about motivation. And so this is how to turn a failure into motivation. I had started my Amazon business right about the time I quit my job. I had a good friend who already was selling products on Amazon. At that time, we weren't nearly as good friends as we are now. We've just sort of, our kids played together, and so we'd see each other from time to time. You know, they had us over at a dinner party, and, you know, real nice people, some of the greatest people I've ever met. They're so sweet. And, but it took a lot of courage for me to approach him. But I did. I called him up. I remember being really nervous when I made the phone call, because I was thinking, man, this is kind of a lot to ask. Basically, what I wanted to ask him was, hey, can you kind of teach me like the very beginnings of how to do what you do, selling stuff on Amazon? Maybe I can find a way to pay you or do some work for you or something to, you know, just spend an hour or two with me and just kind of just tell me a little bit about how it works, because I need to figure out a new way to make money. And I'm really stuck right now. And so I did, you know, I got past the fear and I just gave him a call and I asked him. And he was just so nice. He's just like, oh, dude, I'll teach you everything you need to know. Come on over. You know, when do you got time? And I brought my notepad and my paper and just I studied everything he said and followed through. You know, I just did exactly what he told me. And so I'll tell you a little bit about the beginnings of what I learned in Amazon was he was sort of an expert in what they call SEO, which is search engine optimization. And that's where you use keywords to you figure out basically which keywords are popular and are already getting people's attention. And one way we did that, he taught me to do that, is by looking at something on Amazon, which is called the bestsellers. If you go into Amazon and you type bestsellers, you kind of get like this different page. And you can go through those bestsellers and study them and see which ones are ranked the highest and they're getting the most sales. Now, it can go a lot further than that. There's a lot of tools that exist that you can use to analyze just how much they're selling. I just found this thing recently in the last few months when I was working on my business plan that was called Unicorn Smasher, and this is free. You can download Unicorn Smasher, and you can open any page on Amazon, and it'll tell you, it'll give you an estimate for how much sales they're getting, and that's a pretty neat tool. That's something you can do right now if you got time. So basically, the whole idea he taught me was you find a product that's lightweight, that's a bit on the bestseller list, so you know people are already buying quite a few of this thing. So that way you don't have to worry so much about testing the market, making sure this product's going to sell. You know it's selling because it's a bestseller. And you know the reason you're choosing something lightweight and small is because that's going to save you on shipping and warehouse space. Being a seller on Amazon is not actually as hard as you think it might be. There are some struggling steps you have to go through in the process, but it's not that hard. And if you can find a product that people really want, then just the game is trying to get your advertisement where people will find it. And so what he taught me was how to optimize the page. And it has to do with some important things. Having really good images is one of the biggest ones. Understanding what keywords people would find to search for the particular product you're looking for. And having really good bullet points that explain the features of your product. And having a really good description and a really good title. And that was where I wound up getting into a lot of trouble because when I first started out my product, I chose this headphone splitter because it's something I've been using over the years in my little music making hobby with my friend where like we'll make up a song together and then we'll sit down and listen to it. And over and over the years, we've had these crappy little Belkin brand splitters that, you know, a lot of times the headphone plugs don't really even fit in them right, or you have to use an adapter and they crackle, they come loose. And so it's been an ongoing issue for me. So I wanted to find a good quality one that really solved that problem. So I did some research and I went to this site called Alibaba, where you can look through manufacturers in China, basically. China's where everything's made. I'd really much rather have a product that's made locally, and I really want to gear my business that way in the future. But to get started, I just took the advice I was given. You know, this is the way to do it. You know, you contact these manufacturers in China. I got some samples sent to me. I looked at the ones that looked cool, and I got samples sent to me. I tested them out. It's kind of expensive to get samples sent to you from China, actually. But that's one of the upfront costs of starting your Amazon business. So, and then I went through all these processes of creating my advertisement. You know, I chose a product, ordered it. You know, I communicate with this Chinese manufacturer, and all doing this in the evenings and at home, you know, on my computer. And I'm calling my buddy when I need some advice. And I got these splitters, and I started out with 1,000 of them, and they were like, I only had like, what, $1,500, a little less than that, put in. And when I first started out, I did everything as he told me, and it went just as he described. I actually, within a month, was starting to show up and be ranked on, well, less than a month, I was starting to be ranked where I was getting pretty regular sales. Things were going pretty well. And within a couple months, 3 months, it was starting to look really good. My sales were climbing so high, I was like worried about not being able to reorder in time. In fact, I cut it really close on the first one, on the first reorder. And they were, by the time I made the second reorder, they were just popping. I was selling 20, over 20 a day, sometimes even up to 30. And based on that, projecting forward, I could see that my business was going to grow pretty quick. If I could keep doing that, I was going to be able to just go right on to my next product. So I started studying my next product. And then just out of the blue, lightning struck, earthquake came, and Amazon changed all the rules. I came up one day and just all of a sudden I'm getting no sales. And I look at my advertisement and all my pictures are gone. All the pictures we spent so much time getting just right. And the title of my product was just totally truncated, and it wasn't even descriptive of the product anymore. Amazon had made this big change, and it's kind of complicated to explain why they did it and what it is, but basically it just kicked my ass. You know, it just put me almost out of business completely. And I was totally dejected. I was just totally depressed about it. I had really been like putting all my eggs in one basket in a way. I had been thinking like, this is going to work. This is what I'm going to do. You know, this is the way I'm going to make my money. You know, and I projected that within a few months I was going to be able to basically be making the money I was making when I had my full-time job, just selling these products. You know, if I could start up another product and get two of them going or three of them going, I'd be golden, you know, projecting forward. And so all of a sudden it wasn't going to happen that way. And the only way I could figure out how to, because what was happening before was that I had all these keywords in my title. And if someone would type in any of those keywords, my title would come, my advertisement would come right up. And so when they took that away from me, all of a sudden I didn't have the ability to find the customers anymore. And my advertisement started getting buried deeper and deeper and deeper. And I've been battling the last 2-3 months just trying to figure out ways around that. And in that process, I've learned a whole bunch of new skills. And one of them is called content marketing. There's also copywriting. And so what I discovered is you can't put all your eggs in one basket. You know, there's, if you want to be a seller of products, you have to figure out how to have your own website, and you have to figure out how to build your own list of customers, and you have to figure out how to advertise. And yeah, you can do some tricks on Amazon, but without a huge amount of money up front, you're going to have to build it up slow. It's not going to happen quickly. So I started having to think like, wow, I got to figure out other ways to make money in the meantime until I can build up my products, because I had already started investing in my next product. So that's still in motion. In fact, we're getting really close to the next product being here. But in the meantime, you know, I have to figure out how to make money to pay my monthly bills. So I met a friend online, and I may even have him on an interview. I think I've already talked to him about that, my friend Alex. And he told me he went from working in a restaurant, being a server, or, you know, I don't remember what his job was. He worked in a restaurant, you know, just regular low-wage job, minimum wage, probably a little more than minimum wage, but, you know, maybe 15, 20 bucks an hour or whatever. And a year later or so, I wish I had the details more straight, he's making like $50 an hour he's charging for doing copywriting. And he's doing basically what they call freelancing. And so I sat down and had a talk with him over Skype, and he gave me some advice. And a week later, I had my profile on a site called Upwork.com, and I had myself advertised as a creative writer. And I now have one steady job where I write articles every week for a company. And I picked up some other work too, where like I've been helping a person build their website by writing the copy, which is the words you read when you go to the website. And I got paid for that. And so I created a new way to make money in the meantime. And I also, in that process, figured out a few other ways. So I just wanted to, not to brag, but I'm not making a lot of money. I'm definitely not bragging. Starting off really small. In fact, I can't charge my normal like rate I would charge for construction, for instance, for handyman work. I'm working almost half of that. I'm putting a lot of extra hours up front to build up my profile, to find these first customers so that I can, you know, it's starting from the bottom in some ways, but basically I found another skill I could do. And I got some other good advice from another person I met online who I also want to interview. And one thing she told me was, if you're in where you're at, where you don't have an exact thing you're going to do that you know that's going to be worth a lot of money, and you have to come up with money to pay your bills in the meantime, what you should do is make a list of ways to make money and try every single one and see what's working the best. But basically just hustle is what she told me, you know, in every way possible, just hustle. Figure out how much money you need to make a month and just figure out all the ways you can do that. So I did that. I made a list. All the different ways I could think of to make money. And it's been an ongoing list. I put it in my phone so I can take notes when I think of new ideas. And I had a day just this last week where I made money in 5 different ways in one day. And so I'm going to list those for you. I sold some splitters online. Not a lot. You know, I remember it was 3 or 4, but it was some money. I sold a tool. I've been working on, there's a Facebook marketplace and then there's Craigslist, and I have a bunch of old tools and I'm trying to organize my workshop anyway. So it's perfect. I'm selling some old tools I don't need. So I sold some tools, sold some splitters. I had a little handyman gig. I went to a woman's house and did some work, got paid for that. I got paid for some writing I did on Upwork.com. And I started being an Uber driver, and I went out and drove some people around and got paid for that. And so that was a pretty amazing day when I realized, just like, wow, I got paid from 5 different directions today. You know, a year ago, I would have never dreamed that was possible. So the moral of the story is never give up, and let when you get hit with lightning, like when Amazon changed the rules on me and changed my advertisement, you find a solution. There's always room at the top, is something my wife's dad tells me. And he's a guy who's made his own money. So my advice to you as someone who's just starting out or thinking about starting up is to not let the huge brick wall of what you don't know overwhelm you. You are going to make some mistakes. You are going to run into something tricky. But there's ways. There's a lot of different ways to achieve your goal and to get around these obstacles if you don't give up and you keep trying. And I think one of the other powerful tools that came up, like in these stories I'm telling, is the power of networking. And when you don't know something, you find someone that does and you ask them. And if they don't tell you, you go ask someone else. And same thing on the internet. You do a search and watch a YouTube video, whatever it takes. So that's the story. That's the advice for this episode, the core concepts. So I just want to summarize from episode 1, the biggest takeaway that I tried to offer you is the importance of writing down some goals, writing down how you spend your time, giving some thought to what you'd like to be doing with your time, what things you're good at. So this is if you're at the stage where you're just trying to figure out what is your new venture going to be, how are you going to make money in the meantime, it really helps to start writing some lists. Lists of things you're good at, lists of things you want to do, a list of possible ways you could make money or you have made money in the past. Now, you start with these lists. That's pretty amazing when you actually write things down. It's so much different. So that was basically the takeaway from episode 1. And then episode 2 is you want to start thinking about your core concept. What is what is your high concept? What is it that you're trying to do? You know, what is your phrase? And also, what gives you a sense of meaning in life? Like, don't wait for life to tell you what the meaning is. You go out there and create the meaning. And then lastly, when something goes wrong, which it will, it's an opportunity to learn something new, which could wind up being what makes you the most money of all. You know, it's not always going to wind up being what you thought it was. So you have to be open to change and move and dodge and try something different. So those are the lessons I've been learning. The other important takeaway from episode one was to start chipping away by creating a time of day that's consistent that you stick to. And I've got one more little technical tip, which I've picked up in the last week or two here, is using a calendar where I can schedule my time. And there's apps. I'm using something right now called Setmore, where it's just this calendar, and it's like kind of framed for a business where you could have different people that do jobs, and then you give them the link, someone clicks on the link, and it takes them to your calendar, and they can see what times you have available. They click on one of them, and it books an appointment. You get an email, they get an email. And so this way, you set aside that time, and you get a reminder for it. It's on your calendar, and you follow through with that time. And so I've been using that for my own self as I set appointments on my own calendar and for things that I want to follow through with. So if something pops into my head in the middle of the day and I'm like, oh yeah, I need to take care of that, I'll just go right on my phone right then and set an appointment on my calendar. I'll be like, oh, I got some time open tomorrow at 3:00. Boom. Put it in. So that's a good tip and something you might want to consider. There's a lot of other, I've just been experimenting with Setmore, but there's a lot of other similar apps and programs out there. So that's a possibility. I hope you gained some value from this episode. I hope I passed on some of my experience that will help motivate you or encourage you to move forward, to not give up, to be hopeful, and figure out how to make some damn money. All right, we'll catch up with you guys next episode, which I'm going to share with you an interview I did, and will help us get in the right mindset, and that's really important. So the mindset's a lot of the hardest part, which is getting started. So thanks for coming.